today on Real Radio.
There's the evidence, there's the proof. He declared it in advance. The Old Testament wrote about it. He came and performed it, and now he's inviting you to believe. Think of it. That's who I want to trust in. I want to trust in somebody who's already gone through it.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the last paragraph of chapter 4, the apostle reminds us that though our outer self is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that a good thought? This is yet another great hope and promise for the true believer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Put On Your Clothes.
How sure are we that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and that Jesus entered in, as it were, the book of Hebrews tells us, the Holy of Holies in heaven? How sure? So sure of that, that the same thing will happen to us as believers, where we will be resurrected and received into heaven. God keeps his word. Point number two, verses 15 to 16, put on your clothes because your life is greater. Your life is greater. See, what do you mean by that? Your life is greater than what it is right now. Now, somebody might say this morning, Pastor, I love the Lord. My life is great. Things couldn't be better. I've worked hard to get to this point. I just love where I'm at right now. Well, guess what? Don't settle for such a low base thing in life, Christian. It's a nice day out there, but this ain't it. What is in store for the believer is going to blow your mind. No imagination has ever considered it. No description, no account. Isn't it amazing? As I mentioned earlier, the Bible is all about getting us to heaven. Yes. And yet the description of heaven is so mysterious and short in the Bible. That to me is very holy-like flirtatious. I like that. It's going to be amazing. And we would say, God, how amazing? Amazing. Can you elaborate on that? Really amazing. Oh, man. I know we all have loved ones up there, but they're not coming back, except in the rapture. They'll come in the atmosphere. They'll come. If that happens today, your loved ones who died in Jesus, he will bring with them. And then before we go up, or before we're changed, the Bible says that their bodies will be resurrected from the dead in an instant. Can you imagine? I don't know how fast that's going to happen. Some say it's 18 thousandths of a second, the twinkling of an eye. We don't know. It's just fast. It's just walking around. Oh, man, did you see? I thought I just saw somebody go up. And we are going to meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says. Amen. That's going to be an awesome moment. Our life is going to continue to get greater. But what if I die? Greater. See, listen, this flesh, this is not the end of the road, ladies and gentlemen. Greater in mission, meaning, purpose. Look at verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. Why? That grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. What does that mean? It means this: as the word of God goes out and more people come to the knowledge of Christ, greater the thanksgiving. God will be honored and glorified. Listen, as a Christian, what is our mission now? It is to bring with us as many men and women and boys and girls as is possible, that we want to yield our lives to God and be used by God. For what reason? Knowing that this world is not our home, knowing that we are closer today than we were yesterday to seeing God in eternity, we want to invite people to come with us. That should be, listen, church, the absolute priority of all that we do in this life. Amen. As servants of the Lord, is to invite people to come to Christ. Again, the door hangers, use them. So I don't want to talk to anybody. Well, start with the door hanger. Hang the gospel on the door and run like crazy if that's your fear, but at least you dropped it off. But listen, honestly, are you going to heaven? Have you tasted the ice cream on your lip? Have you tasted to see that the Lord is good? Then listen, don't you even want to so get your friends and family in heaven that you're even tempted to put them in a headlock and put Bible verses down their mouth to get them saved, whatever it takes? Why are you so passionate about it? Because you've experienced it, you know where you're going, and you're not going to be happy until other people are going with you. Why? Because listen, in eternity, the more people there, God will be honored even all the more. By what? By more mouths will praise him. More hearts will explode in thanksgiving and joy. Look, Satan hates your guts. Satan hates God. He doesn't want people saved. He doesn't want people to hear the gospel. A greater mission. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever." You and I are living in an age where through all that we go through, the gospel is being even announced by how we suffer. People are watching us. The mission. Look at verse 16. Greater in death. Greater in death. Yep. Verse 16. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing." This is great. The Greek word is exo. The word means the outside, the outer portion or the outer place, the wayside or the other side. Some commentators put it as a door. Dr. Ironside says it's one side of the door. The door has two sides. The outward man is perishing. Don't we all? We all understand that. Older I get, the more Advil I need. It's perishing. Now, what does the word perishing mean? Well, the word means to rot. Isn't that a great word? To be in the state of rotting thoroughly. The word appears putrefaction. We are putrefying. "Hi, how are you?" "I'm putrefying. How are you?" You know, you've changed a little bit. You've kind of putrefied some. That's what's happening to us. I mean, isn't it amazing? No, the young people are going, "I don't know what he means. What's that word?" You will later. Receive it by faith. The Bible says, and look, I love how truthful and honest it is. The Bible says that we are dying on the outside. One side of the door is horrible. It's amazing. It stinks. It's, what is that? Oh, but that's not all. Listen, death for us, please, Christian. Death for us is the passageway. It is the vehicle by which the door is opened and we go through. Listen, as a Christian, you and I must, unless the rapture happens, you and I must go through death. "So I don't want to." Well, then just keep rotting. See, it's this good news. You can only die for so long. And then you're dead. And in that moment that you die, you spiritually, listen, you go through the door. The door swings one way and it says rot and perishing on one side. And then the door swings shut and you look back at the door and it's eternal life. It's perfect. It's wonderful. Do you have that hope? Are you, listen, are you not a Christian? And what are you? Are you whatever? What are you banking on? "Well, you know, I'm going to live this life and then I'm going to come back next time and just try it again. I'm going to come back after that and just keep doing it again until I get it right." Well, how are you going to know? And who's going to be the authority that says, "Finally, you got it right"? On what basis is that? "Well, I'm going to do this because based upon this other person's..." Well, somebody wrote a book and I read it and this is what they said. How about believing in him who wrote the book? And he says, "All those who will come to me, I will in no wise turn aside. I will no wise cast out. That if a man dies believing in me, yet shall he live." He himself came, lived, died, rose again from the grave. There's the evidence, there's the proof. He declared it in advance. The Old Testament wrote about it. He came and performed it. And now he's inviting you to believe. Think of it. That's who I want to trust in. I want to trust in somebody who's already gone through it, who can tell me what it's like on the other side. Jesus not only tells us what it's like, he says, "I'll make sure you get there." That's good news. He shattered death. The third thing under this point is greater in time. Greater in time. Yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Circle those three words, day by day. Onward, increasing. Every day past, we are closer to eternity. Every day past, we're growing in grace. Every day past, we're moving onward toward that time where we'll be in the presence of God. The inward man, that word means inner chamber, the inner room, the inside of us, that other side of the door. G. Campbell Morgan said that it's the movement of the inside coming out. I like that. The inside of who we really are coming out someday. And how's that going to happen? The moment you and I pass through death's door. What a thrilling thing that is. Greater in time. We are not, listen, we are not running out of time as Christians. Look, if you're not a Christian, you're running out of time. If you're not a Christian today, if you're not trusting Christ, you're running out of time. The Christian never runs out of time. The Christian is going into time. How about this? Time and eternity. We say things like this, I can't wait to see the Lord. I can't wait to hear that trumpet blast. Time once was an enemy of ours. We were terrified. And now, it's just something that as we have it, we witness and share and serve the Lord. But ultimately, eternity awaits us. And then the word renewed. The inward man is being renewed. Renovated. You ever watch those shows on HGTV? Yes. Lisa and I love those shows. I don't know why. You have a fine house. Everything's fine. Then you watch that program. It's like, man, I can't believe our backyard. You notice that? You're fine with your house. And then you turn on this home hunter thing. Home thing. And it's, wow, that's a really nice house. How come we don't have one of those things? Don't watch those shows. We're being renewed. God is working on us. He's renewing us. He's renovating us every day. It's an awesome thing to think about. Zechariah 14:7 says, it shall be one day which is known to the Lord, neither day nor night, but at evening time it shall happen that it will be light. See what he's talking about? He's talking about going from here to eternity. In heaven, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, in heaven it's always light. The sun will never set in heaven. That's going to be amazing. Put on your clothes, verses 17 to 18, because your life is glorious. My life is glorious. Yeah, your life is glorious, and you're heading from glory to glory, church. Verse 17, for our light affliction, our easy burdens, which is but for a moment, is working for us. Four words, is working for us. Wait, what? The troubles you and I are going through, God is using them, and they're working for us. See, wait a minute, I thought I was a victim of my issues and of my dilemma and of my burdens. Not at all. How many of you have troubles in life? Raise your hands. I'm going to raise both my hands. If you're not raising your hand, we are going home with you today. You guys, in the Christian life, God takes our troubles and he works them for our good. They are at work. Watch, for us, a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Glorious by design, Christian. God has made you. Watch this. With all due respect, he didn't make you for retirement. He didn't make you to golf. He didn't make you to, now calm down, please. Please, calm down. He didn't make you to go to the beach. He didn't make you, no. You were designed by God to be with him forever. You were created in the image of God. Your life is coming. God's glory is what he has prescribed by design. There's going to be a day, think about it. You sit in here right now, your personality, your soul, the redeemed you, will be with God forever in eternity in glory. Amen. Just think about that for a minute. Just think about that. Well, I don't believe it. Man, you will. You might be with Bertrand Russell when you figure it out, but glorious in meaning, verse 18. While we do not, now listen, this sounds goofy. While we do not look at the things which are seen, excuse me, I always look at things that are seen. He's saying, don't put trust in things that are seen. Don't lean on things that are seen. Don't have a false sense of hope in things that are seen. More on that in a moment. But, that is, look at things which are not seen. You say, well, are you crazy? How do you do that? I told you earlier, it's about faith. It's faith. Everything that you and I need to sustain us right now for the next 5 minutes, we don't see it. You're not looking at it. Think of that. While we do not look at the things which are seen. We're living in the last days. I'm not making that up. The Bible says we are. And the Bible says in the last days before all hell breaks loose on earth, there's going to be some indicators, a whole lot of them. But one of them is very interesting. You can go home, as soon as you go home from church today, you can turn on your TV, if you have to, and you're going to see a commercial within the first 20 minutes. Gold. Buy gold. They're all telling you. We don't even listen anymore, huh? The dollar's going to collapse. Now, I'm not knocking owning gold. Whatever, that's fine. Here's the deal. Don't put faith in the stuff that you can see. Listen, the Bible says in the last days, men will heap up to themselves gold. But moth and rust, it says there's going to be a canker that is going to consume their gold. What does that mean? It means it's not going to have any value to it. Okay? When everything comes down, what will you have? Only that which you've invested spiritually in life. Don't lean on the things that you can hold on to. It's all going to go. You guys, yesterday we were going to my nephew's wedding. It was in Pasadena. We're going to the wedding, and there were women in my car. They're all talking and carrying on. And, of course, I was just being quiet and obedient. And we were all talking about how to solve the world's problems in the car. And so, but I got so convicted. Look at me right now. You're looking at a man under the conviction of the Holy Spirit right now. Why? I'm driving along, go up the 210 freeway, and this right alongside me. This Porsche pulls up. Guys, you know what I'm talking about? It was a brand new turbo Carrera. It was one of the fat Porsches, you know, the fat ones? I mean, its back tires had to be that wide. It was black windows, black car, black wheels, black. Exactly the kind that you want your pastor to be driving, I'm sure. Do you know how fast I can get to your hospital situation that way? And they said, they're all talking about world events, and I saw that car, and I looked. Look at that. And my daughter says, what is wrong with you? What is that? What are you doing? She's laughing. And the conviction, Jack, easy now, easy. And I remember something that Pastor Chuck told us forever. It's all going to burn. So then your mind starts thinking, but imagine, okay, Lord, I don't need to own it, but I'd like to drive it around the block a few times. But this is stuff that, well, if I could lean on this, then maybe somebody would think that I'm something. Oh, if I leaned on this, then maybe people will think I arrived. If I leaned on this, maybe people will think, you see what I'm saying? If I leaned on these rituals and on this religion and on this thing, then maybe I'll go to heaven. No. Don't lean on things that have no meaning. And then we end with this, glorious throughout eternity. Wow. We're going to know each other forever. So start getting along now. Eternity. For the things which are seen, touchable, they're temporary. But the things which are not seen, untouchable things, they're eternal. I want to leave you with this. Remember I talked to you about the tents? Our fleeting, falling apart, flabby tents. We're just in this world wearing out. I mean, I'm encouraging you, just hang on. We're just wearing out. Eternity awaits us. And Jesus said in John 14, let not your heart be troubled, right? You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many, what?
Mansions.
So look, go home and study this later. Go find out what mansions means in John 14 too. Mansions. Some scholars will say, mansions, you know, the Greek word mansions, the word in the Greek means mansions. And so half the theological camp will say, mansion, it says mansions. Now you think about that for a moment. Have you ever been in a mansion? I've been in a couple of mansions. And I have to be honest with you, I wouldn't want to live there. And I gotta be honest with you. I was in the second largest mansion in Bel Air, 22,000 square feet. The gentleman owns Memry, M-E-M-R-I, news site. He owns a lot of stuff. And Lisa and I were invited to his home. 22,000 square feet, single level home. Well, listen to you. Ooh. Oh. But it's just too big. And the word, Jesus says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, a mansion. The word mansion. So some scholars say, well, the word means mansion. He could have used other words. The Spirit of God used the word. It's a mansion. I don't know about you. I'm sure if Jesus made it, I'm going to like it if that's what it is. He's a carpenter after all. He knows what he's doing. Okay? Some scholars will say, no, that's ridiculous. It must be your body. It must be that he's been for 2,000 years preparing a new body for you. And that's like a mansion. And they argue about this. No, we're right. No, we're right. I'd like to yell at them and say, who cares? It's good. It's all good. The issue is, are you going to heaven? Well, I want to know more about that before I can understand it. How about God said it, you just know it. He said it, believe him. You're not going to be in heaven saying, oh man, you know what? I mean, it's nice, but it's just not cracked up to the... I read that guy's book, you know, and he said it was going to be more like this. No. Eye is not seen, ear is not heard. You're going to freak out, Christian, when you get to heaven. The thing is this, are you going to go?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Put On Your Clothes, taken from the last two paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Put On Your Clothes is a look into how our Lord is renewing the inner self of the believer day by day. Isn't that a great promise? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that you can hear a clear presentation of the gospel? Did you know that here at Real Radio, we not only make it a priority to equip the believer, but we also communicate the truth of God's word to the unbeliever? We do have a number of messages that communicate the need to be redeemed, born from above, and from many different angles, all based on Scripture. Visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org and start by clicking that button in the middle that says Know God. You'll find both video and audio presentations. You can also search by simply typing the word gospel. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.